Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, evil companions corrupt good morals. Now, this was written by the Apostle Paul as he was directed by the Holy Spirit to Christians. They are words that govern the day-to-day manner of life of the Christian with respect to those with whom we associate and those whom we choose to be our friends. The Lord associated with wicked people while he was here upon this earth. He ate with publicans and sinners. He allowed a woman of ill repute and an evil reputation to wash his feet with tears and dry them with the hair of her head. He discussed the great subject of the water of life with a Samaritan woman who had obviously read a rather loose life. He forgave that woman that was taken in adultery. Our Lord never associated with evil people around him for the purpose of partaking of their evil, however, but only to use the opportunity he had to condemn their sins and to teach them a better way, and encourage them to live more righteously than before. Never did he seek to leave the impression that he condoned the sin, but was always seeking the people to come out of sin. He said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." He was often among the spiritually sick. He came to seek and save the lost, so he was often found among the lost. He came to the world to save sinners, so it's not surprising that there were times and conditions when he associated with sinners. Even so, we are to follow his example. But at the same time, be mindful of Paul's warnings, evil companions corrupt good morals. This passage, dear people, is a warning. We're urged to be cautious in the choosing of our friends. Everyone has a certain amount of influence, and that influence can be good or it can be bad. A Christian can influence others for good, but he can also be influenced for evil. Bad company can ruin more than one's reputation. It can be the opening for the ruin of one's character. Choosing the wrong kind of friends and associates can produce the wrong kind of life, lead us into temptation, lead us into sin, and draw us away from God. It is not uncommon for one who has become a Christian to not only change many of the habits and activities of his life, but also have to change his circle of friends and associations. He has to leave those with whom he formerly associated and make friends of God's children who share the same goals, the same faith, and the same purposes in life. Former friends, continuing to live in sin, can only become a hindrance and drag against him as he strives to be faithful to Christ. But some might say, "But I associate with former friends and people out of the Lord in order to convert them to Christ." Well, that is certainly a noble purpose. That's a righteous goal. Indeed, it is a part of the Christian's duty to try to win others to the Lord. But at the same time, we still must be careful lest we be converted back to the ways of evil rather than converting them to Christ. We must always be very careful and very sure which way the influence is flowing. People of God has always been a distinct, separate, and exclusive and peculiar people. Now, this was true in the Old Testament, it was true in the New. God has shown his displeasure with those, his own people, who allowed themselves to go along with those who did not belong to him. 900 years before Christ, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, was invited by Ahab, the wicked king of northern Israel, to go and fight against Syria. Ahab, a worshiper of idols and one who led various efforts against God's prophets, wanted Jehoshaphat for his ally, and Jehoshaphat foolishly agreed. But before the battle with Syria, Jehoshaphat asked that a prophet be consulted. Well, Ahab balked at that, calling only for his false prophets that always said what he knew would be pleasing to him. But Jehoshaphat wanted a true prophet of God. And reluctantly, Ahab consented and sent for Micaiah, whom Ahab hated because he didn't say the things to simply please Ahab. Jehoshaphat should have realized what kind of company he was keeping and had nothing to do with this anti-Jehovah person. And when they went into battle, Ahab disguised himself so he would not be identified as a king. And this caused the Syrians to attack Jehoshaphat, who barely escaped with his life. The armies of Ahab and Jehoshaphat were soundly defeated that day, and Ahab was killed, and Jehoshaphat returned home humiliated. And when he returned, he was met by the prophet Jehu, who told him, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." 2 Chronicles 19:2. It was association with the heathen nations around them that contributed substantially to the downfall of both Israel and Judah. In spite of the Lord's repeated warnings that they not intermarry with them and not make treaties with them, they became more and more entwined with them until their unfaithfulness to God caused their destruction and their captivity. Living in the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah brought great heaviness upon Lot and his family, and also Abraham. Abraham got into serious trouble when he went into Egypt without the Lord's direction and lied about his wife Sarah, claiming that she was only his sister, in order to escape what he thought would be his death if others wanted Sarah. Solomon married foreign wives from idolatrous nations. The scripture says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, the women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto Israel, Ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clave to these in love, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. 1 Kings 11. It has ever been true that marriages with those who do not belong to God have been a source of weakness and a detrimental influence to those who do belong to God. But it is so hard to get people to admit this and to realize it until it is too late. The New Testament bears out the same teaching with the same conclusions regarding Christians and their choice of associates. Paul wrote, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. And while the passage does not forbid all association with those of the world, for then we must need go outside of the world, it does forbid entrance into any tie, any relationship, any association that would cause the Christian to be unfaithful to the Lord, whether it be social, recreational, occupational, marital, or whatever. "Come ye out from among them," saith the Lord. Now the Lord has said it. Too many in the church want to be in the church for the spiritual blessings, but are unwilling to leave out the world of the sinful activities and the associations of worldly people. And they become a reproach against the holy and worthy name of Christ. Historically, this has been one of the ways the devil has sapped the church of its effectiveness and spiritual vitality and influence for good. Christians are not to have fellowship religiously with just any and all people. John wrote, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." 2 John 9:11. Gospel preachers are not members of ministerial associations that include all kind of denominational pastors and clergymen, false teachers of false religions. Such people do not teach the whole counsel of God, but they are wedded to their creeds and to their denominations. The Lord's church is not a part of such things, like the National Council of Churches and such things as that. In addition to being an unscriptural body, that council is a promoter of modernism and error. One must sacrifice the biblical truth and ignore the doctrine of Christ to fellowship false teachers and those of false doctrines. Faithful brethren and faithful churches do not join with the sectarians of the denominational world to celebrate such days as Easter and Christmas and other such days. I was once asked to preach on salvation at a rescue mission, but I was told not to mention baptism. Furthermore, the service was to include instrumental music and testimonials about the direct operation of the Holy Spirit by some of those present. I had to refuse rather than to agree to compromise the truth and sacrifice it in order to preach, as I was requested to preach. When living in South Bend, Indiana, I was invited to conduct a daily program on the local council of churches for 1 week. And I accepted on the condition that I could state that I was not a part of that council and tell why. Well, it was agreed, and I did what I said I was going to do. Well, needless to say, I was not asked for another time. Gospel preachers will preach anywhere and any time, conduct services as they ought to be done anywhere, so long as truth can be taught. Nothing to be compromised, and no impression left that condones error. But if one cannot preach the truth and oppose the error that needs to be exposed and opposed, he would do better to shake the dust and go elsewhere. So important is the right choice of associates, Christians can't even fellowship unfaithful brethren. Paul said, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such a one know not to eat. 1 Corinthians 5:9-11. Now why this instruction? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:6-7, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that it may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. The point is, the influence of the unfaithful brother is harmful to the church. There is to be no agreement between those who walk contrary to the truth and those who are faithful in Christ. A man, a woman, a boy, or girl, or the church, that is known by the company it keeps and condones sin, why, they will appear to approve what God will not approve. Even though the need to abstain from the appearance of evil does not fit into the plans of some, even who are members of the church, and even though the distinctiveness required of a Christian regarding his manner of life is not what some want, sinful conduct in the church destroys the church. The church is often slandered and criticized. It's charged with narrow-mindedness and self-righteousness when it is determined to uphold God's truth. But it is better to win the ill favor of evil men than to offend Almighty God and just go along to get along anyway. James said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. James 4:4. Are such people, as we have mentioned, really God's enemies? Well, it's not up to me or you to judge, but it is up to me and to you to accept the judgments of God and recognize what He has declared and then in turn live by His standards. We are expected to discern between good and evil. We're expected to keep apart from that which has the appearance of evil. We are to abhor evil, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Proof of friendship with the Lord is doing His will. Jesus said, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you, John 15:14. Proof of love is obedience to God's commands. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous, 1 John 5:4. Those that shall inherit the eternal kingdom of God in heaven will be those who not only say, but also do the will of the Lord. Matthew 7:21. Now, since this is the teaching of the Lord, we shall not be ashamed of it, nor give place to anyone or anything else if we be faithful to him. We must indeed be like Joshua, who said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24 and verse 15. Christians live in a world that is mostly controlled by servants of the devil. Evil, degeneracy, perversion, it abounds all around us. And because of this situation, the inspired apostle warns, "Evil companions corrupt good morals." And while we busy ourselves in seeking the lost souls for the salvation that Christ offers, we dare not for a moment forget that there is a difference between the Christian and the non-Christian, nor involve ourselves in any association, any relationship, any companionship, any activity that leads us away from the Lord and causes us to compromise the faith. For our own protection, for our own preservation in Christ, for our own spiritual welfare, Almighty God, through Paul, warns us about the ties with others. We just indeed cannot be friends with the enemies of God. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.